Well, Kitalbi, welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now beginning Masechet Ketubot, and as a service to the public, beginning it a week early, and we will always maintain the Shiurim at least a week early so that those people who want to get ahead or who perhaps are teaching the Shiurim and would like a little help can take advantage of this service. Please do take advantage also of the outlines that are attached to the file. Hopefully they will be helpful. Just a very quick introduction to Masechet Ketubot. Masechet Ketubot, which is 13 chapters, it's focused mainly about the obligations that a husband has towards his wife and all of the things that sort of dovetail from that focus. The essential obligation of Ketubah, then the obligation of Mizonot and of Pirkon and Pidyon, etc. All of these things that are the dovetail from it, the status of the wife's obligations towards her husband, her mitziah, issues of yerusha, under what circumstances a husband may divorce his wife or must divorce his wife, yes, give the ketubah, not pay the ketubah, the amount of the ketubah, etc. The first two chapters of Masechet Ketubot are essentially focused around those circumstances where there may be counterclaims about what the husband owes, whether he owes anything at all. And it begins with the basic premise that a man who marries a betulah, the ketubah, as we will see later on in the perek, is 200 zuz. If a man marries someone who has already been married before, we're calling her an almanah, then the ketubah is half of that, is 100 zuz. And in what circumstances a man will have married a betulah, this is what our focus will be over the course of the next week or so. A man marries a betulah, a woman who has never been married before, and then he has reason to be concerned after the marriage that she was adulterous towards him during the period of Kiddushin. So to clarify that, I'll explain something which will also become relevant immediately in the Gemara. And that is that in the times of Chazal, the Kiddushin, which we call betrothal, in which a man gave something of value either to the girl or in certain cases to her father, it indicated that the designating her as his wife to be did not allow the two of them to live together. That happened only with Nisuin. Today we practice those things simultaneously, almost under the chuppah. However, in the times of Chazal, there was a period of several months up till a year between Kiddushin and Nisuin, during which time they were both prepared for married life. As such, if the year came, and this is an important Mishnah as far as our sugya goes, which appears later in the fifth parak and second Mishnah, if the period of a year, which is the most that we give him to finally marry the girl, comes and he doesn't marry her, he starts having to pay her and support her as if they're married. He gets none of the benefits of marriage, and this is to try to push him along to complete what he is committed to do. That will help us in understanding the first sugya, but also serves as important background, because the context of our Mishnah is a man who marries a girl and then comes to the Beit Din claiming that he found her not to be a betulah. And the assumption here is that he performed kiddushin on her at some point, and then he is claiming that during the intervening time between Kiddushin and the marital consummation, she had relations with another, and as such, at the very least, forfeits her ketubah. If there's other consequences, that's not so much our concern as the concern about the ketubah. So let's begin studying immediately. I put a few notes on the outline, quoting from the Rambam as far as the general obligations of a husband towards a wife and a wife towards her husband that are of a financial nature. Let's see the Mishnah. The first thing that we're told is that a girl may get married for the first time, a betulah, is married on Wednesday, and an almanah is married on Thursday. We're not going to find out for a little while why an almanah is married on Thursday, but we're going to find out right away why a betulah is married on Wednesday, and we find that this is not just a descriptive, but rather a prescriptive. The Chazal say, we have established an ordinance that girls should get married on Wednesday. Why? Out in the cities, the Batei Din, as per the ordinance of Ezra, going back several hundred years before this time, are in session on two times a week. Biyom Sheni v'Chamishi, on Mondays and on Thursdays. Shivayahu Tana Petulim Hayamashkim Leveitin. So therefore, if on Wednesday, yeah, he gets married, Wednesday night, in the marital bed, he discovers something amiss, he will come first thing in the morning on Thursday and report to the Beit Din, who will be there. And it plays out as follows. The first question you got to ask is, so why can't he get married on Sunday? Because after all, Beit Din is a session on Monday. That we'll deal with, and that's sort of a local question. The larger question, of course, is why are we trying to promote him coming to the Beit Din? Why aren't we doing the opposite of saying, oh, get married on a Monday, and that way, if you, for some reason, think that there's something wrong, you'll have a few days to think about it. And then if there really is something wrong, you'll come on Thursday. But it's the exact opposite psychology at play here, which is that a person, if they find something untoward, should immediately report it before they get convinced, either by themselves or by their spouse or by someone else, to, forget it, let it go. Because if there really is a problem here, it's one that we want to be alerted to. Good. I'm Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. So we have a quote from Shmuel. So immediately he asked the question, why did Chazal establish the marriage of a Betula for Wednesday? Now, it's a little bit of a strange question because the Mishnah answered the question. So it says, Lefisha Shaninu, and we're going to see that this is constructed backwards. Lefisha Shaninu, Higiyaz Man Velo Nisu. I mentioned already, meet the Mishnah, Perakei Mishnah Bet. If the time has come, in the 12 months that they give the guy as the maximum that he can wait between Kiddushin and Nisuin, if that time comes and they were not, and the girl isn't married, Ochlob Mishalov Ochlob Bitruma. He has to feed them, and by the way, if he's a Kohen, even though she cannot eat Truma until she actually enters his household, in this case, she starts to eat Truma. Yachol Higiyazman Bechad B'Shabbat Yehem Malel HaMazonot. So I might think that if the year comes out on Sunday, or indeed Monday or Tuesday, that he has to start feeding her. Chach Shaninu, that's why we have our Mishnah, but Tulani said, Liyom Harvi, that's why the Mishnah says that she gets married on Wednesday. Now, that's a little bit of a strange thing to say, why did Chazal say she gets married on Wednesday? Because they said that he has a year, and if a year comes out on something, maybe in the week before Wednesday, he doesn't have to start feeding her, because Chazal aren't letting him get married until Wednesday. But that's backward thinking. Amar Yosef, Mari de Avram, Tali Tanya, but Lo Tanya. If Yosef says, my Davram, the master of Ram, meaning Ribbono Shel Olam, he is explaining that which is explicitly taught with something that is not explicitly taught. Meaning, as opposed to saying, here's something I don't know, and I'll explain it with something I do know, the opposite. I'm taking something that I do have the reason for and explaining it with something I don't have the reason for. Now, his wording is a little inexact, and it's borrowed from another sugya. Hey Tanya or Hey Lo Tanya, which one is not explained? Ha Tanya or Ha Tanya, both of them are explained explicitly. That our Mishnah says that he should get married on Wednesday so that he'll come to Beit Din on Thursday. And the other one says that if that 12 months have come, he has to start feeding her because he's reneged on his commitment. That's what's happening. Is that he's saying that our Mishnah, it's Tanya's a little looser, it's really a Mishnah, our Mishnah, in which the reason for the Takana is explicated, he is explaining, ignoring that explanation and using something else where there is no explanation. This is really the problem. I'm reading on Shmuel. Why did Chazal say she gets married on Wednesday? Well, they say the answer in the Mishnah, because that way if he has a claim that she's not a Betula, the next morning he'll go to Beit Din. So now the question we asked in the Mishnah, why doesn't she get married on Sunday, and then he'll come on Monday morning? The answer is, Shaktu Chacham Mal Takanat Berut Yisrael Shei Torach Misudah Shloshe Amim. Shaktu Chacham, it's called, referred to by the Rishonim as Takanat Shaktu. The Chachamim were very zealous to make sure that Benot Yisrael, the Jewish girls, had a nice wedding, that the man should prepare it 3 days. Echad B'Shabbat, Sheni B'Shabbat, Ushlishi B'Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Uvivi Ikon San. On Wednesday, he marries her. Meaning that if we say, I have to say, the wedding can be on Sunday, they'll prepare it on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Shabbat, food, things will spoil. This way, he has 3 days in a row to prepare for the wedding. Now, Shmuel continues. Yachshav, Sheshaninu, Shaktu. This is what we originally presented, but backwards. Now we're getting it forwards. Now that we've learned that there is a din of Shaktu, meaning that there's a din that you have to have the wedding on Wednesday, and Chazal won't let you get married before Wednesday, that Mishnah in Parakeh that says that if the time comes, they don't get married. You have to start feeding them. If that year ends up exactly on a Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, he doesn't have to feed him because we won't let you get married till then. So in other words, now we've clarified it. The reason that Betulah gets married on a Wednesday is because of what we explained. But now that that law is in place, the result is that you're not considered to be reneging on your commitment if your 12 months ends up on some day of the week before Wednesday, or indeed if it falls out on a Thursday, you can't get married either, and you have to wait till the next Wednesday, and you get another 6 days in which you don't have to feed her. Lefichach. Now, what's the conclusion that we get from that application? Chalahu. Let's say that the guy gets sick. The 12 months are coming, and he's ready, and they've sent out invitations, and the wedding is going to be exactly when the 12 months are up, and it's on a Wednesday, and he comes down sick, and he calls, and he says, I'm in bed, the doctor won't let me out, and I can't get married. Or shechaltahi, or she gets sick. Or shepersa nida. Let's say she suddenly becomes a nida. Eino ma'ala l'amazonot. He doesn't have to feed her, because after all, you just said that the rule of the 12 months is not a hard and fast rule. The rule of the 12 months is that if the 12 months arrives and he hasn't married, and he is capable, and she is capable, and Chazal not standing in the way, and everything's fine, and he still doesn't do it, then he has to start feeding her. But if, let's say, it's a Sunday when Chachamim say he can't get married, then he doesn't have to feed her. Now, that's one way to look at it. The Ika de Boy Lami Bias. Some people looked at it the opposite way as a question. We know what Shmuel said, which is to apply our Mishnah to the Mishnah in Parakeh and say, since we won't let him get married before Wednesday, if the 12 months comes out, then he doesn't have to feed her. So now, does that apply now to somebody being sick or her becoming a nida? Chalahu, now, what if he gets sick? Hatam Tamamai, what's the reason in Parakeh? Because he's not able to get married. If he's sick, he also can't get married. Maybe it's different, because maybe over there in Parakeh, he is anus. It is out of his control. He cannot get married because of something that the Rabbanan made, meaning it's a legal onus which prevents him from getting married. That he has a claim. You can't expect anything from me. But maybe here, when he's sick, say, you know what, you should have taken better care of yourself. You should have gotten married earlier. Get out of your sick bed and get married anyways. Perhaps you can claim that. In Tim Shalom Rechalahu Ma'alom Mazonot, if you want to argue that if he got sick and the 12 months came and he can't get married, he still has to start feeding her, because you could argue, what's it her fault if he's sick? Chaltahi Mahu, what if she gets sick? Matzi Amala Anaha Kaim, now can he say to her, I'm ready to get married, you're delaying, and we would certainly agree that if at the 12 months he said, let's get married, and she delayed, he's not going to feed her. Or perhaps she could argue and say, hey, your field got flooded. In other words, you were Mekadesh me, and for 12 months you had time to prepare. The 12 months came, you knew you were going to have to start feeding you. 12 months came, suddenly I got sick. It's as if I'm your possession, meaning I'm your responsibility, and your field got flooded. In other words, your possession got messed up, and I'm not able to drive to the wedding. Now, we would certainly not accept this if she willfully said, I'm not going to get married. And she spitefully said, I'm angry at you that you didn't marry me a month ago or whatever, and so now I'm going to make you start feeding me and I'm not going to get married. That we wouldn't accept. But if she got sick, she could say, look, it's like the Rishonim say, it's your mazel. I'm yours, and I got sick, and now you're stuck with it. Talk to the mom, Rolaini, stop for sedan. If you accept it, she could say that, and therefore get the money, get the food. Person nida mahu. What if she becomes a nida? Shad Vesta Loti Bailach. We're not asking about what to do when it's her regular period. She can't say bad luck to you because she has a calendar. She knows when it turns out. Kiti Bailach Shalom Shad Vesta Mai. We're only asking about if it happens at an irregular time. She planned it out so that her period would come at some other time, and then it happened exactly before the wedding, and she decided Chupat Nida was not what she wanted, and she delayed the wedding and explained why. Does he still have to feed her? Kevin Lovishad Vesta Habiyah, since it's at an irregular time, maybe she could turn to him and say, too bad, your field got flooded. Odima came to Ika Nashi to come Shani Vestayu, or perhaps because there are women who have irregular periods, Kishad Vesta Dami. Maybe anytime she has a period, it's like Veset. So we don't know how to deal with this. Pashi Ravacha, Ravacha gave the following answer. The Mishnah says that if the time comes and they were not married, the girls were not married in the passive sense, and that's why on the text I bolded the letter Yod, then the itruma lo nasu lo tani. It doesn't say they didn't marry them in the active from the man's perspective. Ela lo nisu, they did not get married. Hechidani. What's the case where the woman is not married, is not taken? If the women are saying, I don't want to get married, they certainly can't eat. A woman can't sit there and say, I refuse to marry you and you still got to feed me. It must be that they were na'anas in a similar way to what we have been describing. Uktani achot mishalom achot b'truma. And the Mishnah says, achot mishalom achot b'truma. So Achai takes a look at the very detailed wording that's used. Lo nisu means they were not married. Not they did not marry from the man's perspective, but they were not married. Now, what's the case? Is it the women are saying, I refuse to get married? Obviously not, because then there's no good reason to argue that the husband should have to feed them. It must be a case where the women were not able to get married because of some sort of an onus, like they became leader, they became sick, and nonetheless, they get fed. So certainly, if he's sick, where it's his cause, then certainly he will feed them, and it is not like the case where everybody's healthy, but the 12 months ended up on a Sunday where he doesn't have to feed them till Wednesday because Chachamim won't let him get married. That's Rav Achai. Ravashi said, no, actually I disagree. And I think that any time that you're nanas, you don't have to feed, whether you got sick, she got sick, she got needed, it doesn't matter, you don't have to feed her. Why? Until everybody's better, and then they're willfully not getting married. And you know what lo nisu means? Lo nisu means that if the man deliberately, he's healthy and refuses to get married, then we start feeding them. And he says, really, the Mishnah should have read lo nasu from the active perspective, from the perspective of the husband, if the time came and they did not marry. But I did a ton of resha, but did he? But because the resha of that Mishnah talks about how much time we give them, and it talks about their perspective, therefore the seif is also done from their perspective, what we call parallel construction, but that does not really say anything to the halacha, and therefore Ravashi says, we follow the normal path of halacha, which is that onus is always a good claim. I would like to come, but something's in my way. There's a roadblock, I'm sick, you're sick, the rabbis will not let me come, whatever it may be, and therefore you cannot expect me to be there, and therefore my not being there should not count against me, and I should not be fined here by having to start feeding you even though we're not married. Now, the reason I'm giving that lengthy explanation is because of the next piece, which has two sides to it. Amar Rava, ul'inyan gitin ein okein. He said, as far as a get goes, the same does not hold true, and we will see that there are two versions of this. This is the first version that Rava supposedly said, and as we don't know which one Rava said, that as far as gitin goes, that rule of Ravashi does not apply. Now, Rav is not commenting on Ravashi, because Ravashi came three generations later, but what Rav is saying is that this principle of Shmuel, which is that if the time comes and you're prevented from getting married, you don't have to feed, doesn't apply to Gittin. Now, what's the case of Gittin? It means as follows. If a person writes a get, and let's say that he loves his wife and he wants to stay married to his wife, but he's going on a dangerous journey, and he doesn't want her to become an aguna, and let's say that they have no children, doesn't want her to fall to his brother, who's a schnook, and so therefore he writes a get, and he makes the get conditional. He says, this get is valid if I don't show up in a week. And then he tries to show up, but he's prevented because of an onus. And he doesn't deliberately stay away. Question is, what do we do with that? Do we say that anytime there's an onus, we don't reckon it against you, and we consider as if he did come back and the get is invalidated, and they're still married? Or do we say, too bad, you didn't make it back, the get is now a get, and she's divorced? Now, here in this version, Rava says, the same rule about onus doesn't apply to get. Alma kasava Rava ain't onus be gitten. So obviously we see Rava holds that there is no din of onus by gitten. Now, what does that mean? Menalei Ravah. So, where does Rava get this from? Ilei mehaditnan. If you get it from the Mishnah in the seventh parak of Gittin, harei is a gitech in robat mikam yad shnei masar chodesh. If a guy writes again, it's his wife. He loves his wife, and he doesn't really want to divorce her, but he's going on a dangerous journey. He says, if I don't come back within 12 months, this is a get. Umet patoch shnei masar chodesh, and he dies after 6 months. Ain't no get. It's not a valid get. Now, what do we infer from there? May to the ain't no get. It's only because he died that there's no get. Ha chala, but let's say he got sick and wasn't able to arrive back. Haray is a get. Even though he wants to come back, we say it is a valid get, which proves that onus is not a valid claim in Gittin. Oh, maybe not. V'dim l'yolam emelecha chala nami ain't no get. perhaps the Mishnah should not be interpreted that way. Perhaps when the Mishnah says if he dies in the middle of the year, it's not a get. The same is true also if he gets sick and can't come back. He gufa kamashmalan. And what's the Mishnah teaching us? The ain't get lachar mita. The Mishnah is there not to teach us about onus. It's there to teach us a basic principle that there is no such thing as a get after death. Which means if the get is dated to take place in a year, and in the intervening time he dies, the get doesn't kick in. Which means, by the way, she is zekuka liyavam in that case, but she's not a grusha. I mean, there's all the pluses and minuses there. Now, ein get lachar mita tamalei reisha. Wait a second. The principle ein get lachar mita, you don't need to get from there. You can get it from the earlier Mishnah in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. Harezi gitech imati, harezi gitech michol izeh. If a guy gives a woman a get and says, this is your get if I die, or this is your get if I die from this disease. He's sick. Harezi gitech lachar mita. This is your get after I die. Lo amar klum. All those statements are meaningless. Right? Which means we are, the Mishnah already tells us that ein get lachar mita. So I don't need another Mishnah to tell me that same thing. So that another Mishnah must be there to tell me only if he dies in the middle is it not a get. But if he's sick and can't come back, it is a get. No, Dilma lafuki mida rabotenu. No, maybe that last Mishnah is there to oppose the position of rabotenu. We'll see who they are. The time of rabotenu, it's Yerolan Asay. But the particular rabotenu, we'll see who they are, allowed a woman in a circumstance like that to get married, and she's not zekuka liyavam, if the guy wrote a get that said, "Harezikitech lachar mita," and they say that she could still use to get married, and she has no relationship to the avam. Yamun and man rabotenu, as we say, who is rabotenu? Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, beidin l'sharu mashcha. It's the famous beitin that permitted shem and akum. It's a discussion of Morozara. Sabri la Rabbi Yosi. They hold like Rabbi Yosi. Da'amar zman shel shtar mochiach alav. The zman and the shtar defines when it kicks in. So since he wrote the get when he's still alive, and that's the zman and the shtar, and he said in that shtar, if I don't come back in 12 months, then if I die from this disease, this is your get. Those who held like Rabbi Yossi, it didn't say Rabbi Yossi himself, but those who held like Rabbi Yossi about shtarot said the get is valid because the minute he dies, we kick it back to the date he wrote it, and they were divorced before he died. So perhaps that Mishnah is there to oppose that position and not to teach Ein Get Lachar Mita, and therefore we need the first Mishnah to teach Ein Get Lachar Mita, and we still have not proven that if he was just sick and couldn't show up, that the get would still be valid. Now let me say, it must be from the end of that Mishnah, but the Chachamim say, Rabotenu said any of those Gittin are good, but the Chachamim say that if the guy writes a get, that the get is valid from this moment, if I don't make it in 12 months, I raise a get. He says today, this get is valid as of today, if I don't make it in 12 months, and he dies during the 12 months, retroactively the get is valid, because he said, me'aksha. Meit v'adim l'chala. It must be that if he dies, or if he's sick, either way the get is valid. And so you see that being sick is not an excuse, and there ain't on us begitting. Maybe that's where Rava gets it from. So we say, no, dimma meit dafka. Maybe it's only if he dies that the get is valid. So the nechali, the tape will come the oven. After all, maybe this guy's writing a get. After all, when a guy writes a get, delayed by a year, it's not because he doesn't like his wife, because he'd make it immediate. He's making it because he wants to protect her from his brother. So he says, maybe if he dies during the year and he made it me'achshav, he did it to protect her from the avam. But maybe if he gets sick, that wasn't his intent at all, and he's still alive, and maybe it shouldn't work. So Rava has no proof from any Mishnayot that, Rava has no proof from any of the Mishnayot that ain't onus begitten. Right? And so therefore we have to go to the following. Elamihada. Huda amarahu lo atina mikan ve'atlatin yomin lehave gita. It's a story about a guy who said, if I don't come back in 30 days, it's a get. Atavasof tlatin yomin. He came back on the 30th day. Upaske mabra. The bridge was down. He's on the other side of the river. And he sees them on the other side. Amarahu chazudatoi, chazudatoi. You see I'm coming, you see I'm coming. Amashmuel ashramatian, shmuel paskin. That's not called coming. In other words, the fact that you were nanas and you could not fulfill the condition of returning, the get is still valid. Even though you're standing there yelling, I'd like to come, so we all see that you're nanas. So that should prove endless beginning. You say, no, maybe that's different because that is an onus that he should have anticipated. After all, they live right next to a river and the bridge comes out, it goes out sometimes. He should have come back a couple days earlier so he could find another way back. The came of the evening, he should have made a condition and didn't make a condition. Like a condition saying, as long as the bridge is not out or if you see me waving, it's good enough for something. He lost for himself. Good. So where did Rava get it from? Where did Rava get the principle that an onus begin? He couldn't have gotten from the Mishnayot because we explained them. He couldn't have gotten from this case because this is a case of an onus that could be anticipated. I want to say anticipatable, but there is no such word. An onus that could be anticipated. That's different. But an onus like the ones that we deal with, that we dealt with earlier, suddenly the guy gets sick or something, and there's no way that he would know what happened, perhaps should be a valid claim. Rava actually did not say it because of case law or because of code, rather his own reasoning. Was it? Mishum snuot and mishum pritzot. Because of the very virtuous women and because of the women who are, shall we say, loose. Mishum snuot, what's the problem with the virtuous women? The amat lo lehavegita, if you claim that it should not be a get, zimin do the anis for sabra do anis. It might be that the guy really decides not to show up. He really wants to divorce them. And they're going to keep saying, no, he's trying to come and there's a roadblock. He's trying to come and he's sick. And they'll sit there as agunot. And the whole time they'll think that they're not divorced. They really are divorced. And they will never get married. When we shum prutzot, then what's the problem with the prutzot? The flip. The yamad lo lehavegita, if you claim it's not a get, zimun da'anis v'amr lo anis. Sometimes you'll have a situation where he is nanas, and they will claim that he's not nanas, and they'll claim he's really not coming back, and they'll go marry somebody else, whereas really the get should be canceled. Vazla mitzvah. It's a get, batel, v'nam amzirin, and in reality the get is nullified, because the guy's trying to come back, and you're claiming onus begitten. And then any kid she has for the second marriage will be amzirin. So we want to protect that. But what that means, though, is that really yesh onus begitten, really onus is always a claim, just like it is anywhere else in the Torah. And to protect against the thinking of the tznuot and the behavior of the tznuot and of the putzot, the Rabbanan established that such a claim of onus doesn't work. Which means you have a get, which mid d'oraita is an invalid get, and they're still married. And the Rabbanan are going to say, we're validating the get, and therefore we're making you now not married. We make a midoraita that will have a get. We should snow, we should putzot, sharon, and ish alma. So wait, since where could you have something? Mi ikamidi, where can you have such an example? The mida oraita lo lehava get. Mida oraita is not a get. When mishum snuot, mishum prutzot, shorin neshed ish ta'alma, and because of that consideration, you're going to take a woman who mida oraita is an neshed ish, because the get is really invalid. And you're going to say she can marry some other guy, and you're validating the get? The answer is in. We have this several times in Yifamot. Called the Mekadesh, Andata the Rabbanan Mekadesh. Anybody who gives Kiddushin is doing it based on the consent of the Rabbanan. Tosfot here points out, that's why we say Kedat Moshe Yisrael. So whatever the Rabbanan say about these Kiddushin is what I accept. I am making my Kiddushin contingent on their agreement. Vafkinu Rabbanan Kiddushin Minei. The Rabbanan here uprooted his Kiddushin. So it's really not operating as a get. What happens in this case is the Rabbanan say, you were never married. We take that original Kiddushin you gave your wife 30, 40, 50 years ago, and we're uprooting it. So Ravina says to Ravashi, I understand if the original Kiddushin were Bekesef. Because, like Rashi says, Hefka Beitin Hefka, the Beitin can reassign what money means. The money he gave his Kiddushin, we're now going to say, was given as a matana. Kaddish for Bia, my equal man. What are you going to do about Kiddushin Bia? If the original Kiddushin were Bia, which already in time of Rav, they didn't allow, but let's say it happened. What are you going to do? How can you redefine that? The answer is, Shavu Rabbanu Bilatobi, that's new. The Rabbanu were willing also to say that original Bia was just a tryst and not a L'shem Kiddushin. Good. So that is all position number one of Rava, that it ain't onus begitten. The claim of onus is meaningless, and if you don't show up to fulfill your condition, you're not there. It doesn't matter why you're not there, and the get now becomes complete, and the woman is able to marry. That's version one. Ika da'amri. Some people read it the opposite way. Amar Rava v'chem le'inyan gittin. Rava said what Shmuel said about having to feed after 12 months, and it falls out on Sunday, you don't have to feed her because the rabbis won't let you get married. The same applies to gittin. Alma kasava Rava, yesh onus begittin. So now we see Rava in the second version holds, onus is a valid claim in gittin like it is anywhere else. So now all the things that we brought as possible proofs on the previous Omud now become challenges. The guy says, here's a get. If I don't come back in 12 months and he dies during the 12 months, ain't no get. So good. May to the ain't no get. And we assume that's only because he died. Hachalare is a get. If he was sick, it is a valid get, which means his claim of, I'm sick, I can't come, doesn't help. No, the only way to Hachalare ain't no get. Now, you know what? The truth is, and even if he was sick, it wouldn't be a valid get. The whole purpose of that Mishnah, like we said earlier, was to teach that ain't get lachamita. The interesting thing here is what became previously a block against the proof now becomes a defense because we've taken the opposite position. Now, ain't get lachamita tanale resha, that we already learned from the earlier Mishnah. Again, I'm going this quickly because we learned this material. Perhaps that is there just to oppose the position of Rabotenu, who said that a get written and said, this is your get after I die, they said was valid because the Zman indicates when it kicks in. So Toshma Miyashim Labatu Mekam Neshem Asachodesh, Rehim Tachshim Asachodesh, Harez a get, Ma'alav Huadim L'chala. Isn't it also true that if he was sick and doesn't come after 12 months, that it's still a valid get, which means the onus doesn't work? Well, mate tafka, it's tafka, mate the lunechal at the tip will come a yavam. Because he just doesn't want it to fall to the yavam. Toshma mehuda malahui, lo atim ni kamrat shloshim yom nehabe kita, the case of the guy who said, if I don't come back in 30 days, it's a get. Atam asaf flotsin yom, he came on the 30th day of Paskim Abra, the bridge was down. Gamalu chazu datoi, you see I'm coming. Roshua lo shremati, and Shmuel said that doesn't help. So the answer is, unsel shchiach shani, that proves nothing, because that was an onus that he should have been anticipated. It's very common. They live right near the river, etc. They came in the evening. They thought, "No, yeah, for the lobby, since he should have mentioned that condition and didn't do so, he himself lost out by not doing that." So we have just covered the sugya of onus begitten, both in onus begitten and the second version of yesh onus begitten, and then we will continue on to Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast of analyzing the Takana of Betulot getting married on Wednesday, the reason for it, and some of the implications of that Takana. Everybody should have a wonderful day.